This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Troy Noons is an Absolute Podcast. I'm your host, as always, John Casillo, and with me today is Dan Lyons.
Hello, everyone. Happy Boeheim's Army is still alive week after an interesting start, but they're playing much better tonight. Happy Aaron Rodgers sounds like he's going to turn to the pack. So for the many Syracuse Packers crossover fans, that's important. And then, of course, happy realignment week, month, return. Who knows?
It's realignment year. We're headed to the end of college football, whether everybody likes it or not. At least compared to like the sport we've all grown to know and love. I feel like 10 years ago it was like palatable on the football side. I know a lot of basketball fans are still pretty annoyed, but I think this next go around is gonna murder whatever's left of it.
Yeah, At first I was very upset. I still don't think it's a particularly great thing for the sport in general. Like, I think the regional rivalries and the history and stuff is so important. Not to say, and it's kind of tough to balance because, like, yes, obviously Syracuse leaving for the ACC back, 10 years ago now, we applauded it. You know, it was the right thing to do. It remains the right thing to do. You have to stay alive. At the same time, just like the general deterioration of so many of the rivalries and the regional aspects of the sport are really unfortunate. I don't know how things go from here. Like, if it's just the Big 12 getting knocked off, I don't think it's like the end of the world. I think people will figure things out. But if you continue to have this like consolidation where, more and more money is going to the top couple schools, like, I know there are debates over like how much it actually impacts, as it ends up just kind of getting... Bill Connolly had a really good piece about this today, which actually kind of settled my mind on things a bit. Like, yes, the SEC is about to make so much more money, but like, think about like how much money Vanderbilt's been pulling in and how much money Northwestern's been pulling in and, Nebraska since they joined the Big Ten. Like, the money, it helps, and like, you want it. But like, how many programs, like Boise State and UCF and whatnot, have been, like, however you cut it, better than those programs despite making less money, even and hold up when they play good teams. So like, yes, you want to be on that top echelon, and like, when the SEC is going to end up making like twice as much as the ACC, assuming things don't change, that's not great. But like, ultimately, the programs that know what they're doing are the ones that are winning, not necessarily the ones that are pulling in like the crazy contracts, because we've, there's always going to be a power like structure within these leagues, and whatnot. So I guess, like, as long as the ACC remains viable, I think we're in okay shape. I know there's, like, plenty of innuendo about, like, oh, the SEC will go after Clemson now or something. Like, maybe, but there's no real indication of it yet. But, ultimately, it's, like, hard to sell that it's, like, good for the fans and good for the sport in general, but it's good for the people who are at the top and going to cash in on it. So that's ultimately what ends up driving these decisions, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about it in the past. Just around like, last year definitely was a bummer of a football season to watch. And a lot of it was because a lot of that connective tissue was gone. It just felt like there was a certain element of the season and college football in general that had like vanished. I know in general, like, you talk to fans and even diehard fans like yourself, myself, others, like, college football has definitely gotten significantly worse over the last half decade. And that's not necessarily just a realignment related conversation. I think that's also just because of the structure of the playoff. And I think the underlying thing here is like, the role of TV rights, and specifically like ESPN's TV rights in a lot of ways, in all that, and how that's such a motivator. And honestly, like, for me, like, the money, like, SEC and Big Ten revenues were always far ahead of the ACC's, and we were never going to catch up under any circumstances, barring some sort of like catastrophic event I'm unaware of. But realistically, like, from the standpoint of like just the product on the field, the what we're going to see on TV. I feel like, unfortunately, this is the bigger issue, is that it drives us further down the road of really only one conference mattering, and ESPN kind of getting their own like mini NFL in the form of the SEC here. Obviously, the ACC has their own exclusivity with ESPN and ABC and all the ESPN networks. But at the same time, there's just this, you already see it now that, like, you know, once things start falling off for an ACC team, SU or otherwise, you pretty quickly get relegated to RSN, ACC network land. And I feel like now, you know, that could happen even quicker. Obviously, there's certain things in contracts that prevent that to an extent, but like you're going to see the SEC really just kind of take over college football Saturdays as a culture and as a monolith. And I do think that more than the money is the bigger issue here.
And I think you're right. And I think it's very short-sighted. Like the sport would be in such a better place if you were these networks. And part of the problem is just in general, like part of the problem in entertainment is just there's so few networks. There's some few power holders. So like you have ESPN, you have Fox, CBS is basically out of the picture outside of like they lose their SEC deal in 2024, I believe. And ESPN takes over 100% of the SEC rights, which is probably a big factor underlying with the Texas Oklahoma thing. So like CBS is now just has like a piece of the AAC, and they have like their Navy stuff, and NBC has their Notre Dame stuff. But like, it's basically a two-party system here. And Fox has if Fox maybe ramps stuff up, but like it would be in a much better place if there were.
Like realistically, like why, how could they? Because realistically, if they lose the Big 12 here, and they very well could, if the Big 12 implodes, and we'll get to that. Like now you're looking at, all right, what does the Big 10 do? And what does the Pac-12 do? And I think the Big Ten is obviously on stable footing, but like the Pac-12 isn't necessarily. And like, if you're Fox, do you really want to bother with whatever the zombie AAC is or Conference USA? I just feel like, unfortunately, like ESPN is going to say, all right, we don't have room for you. So either take your medicine and go to ESPN Plus, or like, you know, these G5 leagues and lower end up just, instead of what we used to see where you could just watch college football all day, like in a handful of places that were all pretty easy to access, I feel like you're going to start seeing, you know, more and more deals, maybe specifically with YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. I know some others have like Fubo deals, things like that. Like, and I guess it's not like the worst thing, and TV's trending that way anyway, in a streaming capacity. But I do think that like for the common fan, there's only so many places you could be asked to watch before you're just kind of over it.
Yeah, I meant more like Fox could conceivably, right, like try to match ESPN, and maybe like if we luck out, they'll double down on the Pac-12 or something. I don't know why they would, but like the idea, I mean, it would be good for everyone if like Netflix or Amazon or some of these companies that are always threatening to become like big players in sports actually stop like you know, playing footsie with it and actually do it and drive some competition in terms of these media deals. Because right now, if it just ends up being ESPN and like Fox, there's going to be more consolidation. Like ESPN's definitely thrilled with the Texas Oklahoma thing, because it just drives the two. I mean, it kills the Big 12. Fox is obviously not going to around with that Big 12 contract be what it is on their end now. So yeah, it's short sighted. I think just because the everything would be much better for the sport in general if all of the regions and all of these little schools were involved, and it wasn't just down to like the top 20 programs. I know it's easier to monetize them and it's less work, but just overall, like I think you end up shrinking the world for college football, and college football is so special because there, you know, aren't just the Alabamas. Like the season, for better, like in a lot of different ways, matters to everyone, even if they don't have national championship possibilities. And honestly, like I think the playoff hope. I mean, I'm now really hoping the 12-team playoff stays as like the thing we're heading towards, because I don't know if that can possibly change now because the landscape has changed so much. But that's like kind of the right equalizer. Even if the SEC somehow consolidates things so much to where they're getting like half the teams in the playoff, there's still more access than there was before. So I'm hoping that we can you know, continue towards that end now, because it becomes more important to give more opportunities to the other programs. I think especially with the ACC. Like the ACC, I think we're in okay shape right now, especially because it doesn't sound like there's, I mean, I struggle to see Clemson jumping. Like, I know the money could be overwhelming, but yeah, like I know that the Clemson thing is like the big concern, but I think they're kind of in a similar position to Oklahoma now, where I think Oklahoma probably made it a little harder for them to get this like clear pathway to like a high playoff seed. Obviously the playoff has way more access now, so they'll probably be okay in that regard. But like, what happens if they're just constantly like a 9 or a 10 seed? Like I think Bill C brought this up in his Law article today. Like, you know, they'll be making a lot more money, but ultimately, like, is that because stuff just it's pumps back into like the coaching salaries? The obviously, there's some other, you know, stuff goes to the rest of the school a little bit, but then like you have like the facility war. Like, wouldn't it be better off actually like trying to do the things to like win football games here with all this extra money, and maybe like. Maybe now that we've already opened one door for paying players, like maybe open the full door, because like if there's this much more coming in and it's kind of getting proven that like, you know, you can only upgrade your facilities how many times per decade and have like meager recruiting upgrades when everyone's just doing it. I don't know. It just seems like really short-sighted in a lot of different aspects. And I guess it's one reason why maybe I'm not as worried about Clemson, because I think they really value where they are in the ACC right now and what ability it's given them to vault into like this top upper echelon of school. And I don't know that they would have done that in the SEC. Like, if they had joined the SEC earlier in the decade, even when they were starting to like hit their stride during like the Taj Boyd years, like would they have become the same kind of power without getting that easier access to the playoff? I don't know. So I'm not super worried about the ACC at the moment. Like, I could get there if some other stuff comes out, but overall, I don't think it's a great thing for college football. So hopefully things calm down, or we like start to formulate some things that let us see like what the future looks like, and have it not be as like kind of shamelessly capitalistic and like so driven by the money of it all. But you know, that's probably naive on my part.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'll just kind of wrap up this portion of things. Like, yeah, I agree with you. I think access does breed a certain amount of ability to improve yourself over time. And yeah, I'm not worried about the ACC necessarily. I think Clemson's smart about where they are. I think that the problem here is that you are going to start seeing like less access for top schools, but then, or at least under the old system, but then under the new system, like, are you just inviting in mediocrity so that it's basically an invitational for the SEC? I think in general, like the ACC is fine, and we'll get to what they have to do. But like the ACC, like I said, is not going to catch up from a TV revenue standpoint. There's nothing they could conceivably do like in the real world to make up that difference. I think the one problem here, maybe long term, is just because the TV deal has them so far behind already, like, do we start seeing that bear out on the field for those that aren't Clemson? Maybe, like, maybe this does open the door though for, and we've seen it in the Big 12 work really well, maybe we see this kind of open the door for some of those tier three rights being freed up. I know Notre Dame's had really good success with their streaming program, little platform that they put together. And it seems like Clemson wants one as well. I think that there's an opportunity here to, because like you remember the La Familia, the documentary thing that SU did on YouTube, like that was super smart. Yeah, I'm sure it didn't like cost a ton to make, because it was largely just taking footage from around the practice facility and the field and things like that. Like stuff like that, documentary style stuff, and just telling stories around the team. Like there's clearly too many teams in these conferences to use the conference networks for that. Like one way for the ACC in particular to grow revenue for member schools and keep them around is to free up maybe some of that tier three, you know, inventory for, you know, school owned streaming. And that's something that Clemson has the capabilities to do. Obviously Syracuse should already have the capabilities to do that, and plenty of others will as well. So we'll see there, but I'm hopeful that whether the ACC expands or not, they find a way to expand opportunities for revenue.
I think that becomes very important. I don't know that there's a move that we make that would really allow us to renegotiate things short of adding Notre Dame. That's like the only real move. There's no, you're not going to be able to poach someone from one of the other big conferences. I mean, there's I know you floated some Pac-12 stuff. I think we're a little early on it. That would be the only one. We're not going to put someone from the Big Ten or the SEC. Like that's just off the table. So like the Notre Dame, like I guess the lucky thing is that we apparently have a pretty ironclad deal with them through 2036 in terms of them joining a conference full on. They like can't really do that until then. Obviously, there are probably ways to get out of it, but they would probably owe us a lot of money to do so. And it doesn't seem like they're super interested in it. But the over the top, like kind of like school specific streaming stuff might also bite us there, because I think Notre Dame might be pretty interested because we could probably just like go to them and be like, hey, if you join us when your NBC contract runs out, the ESPN's already basically set as what the number will be. And it'll probably be pretty substantial. And it would definitely be more. I mean, the ACC already pays out more than they're making on the NBC deal. But did you read David Hale's big thread about Notre Dame like yesterday? Yeah. That I thought was, yeah. So like the upside for them from their own streaming stuff like might end up kind of hurting the ACC, just because if Notre Dame fully monetizes it, then it becomes kind of a game changer for them in terms of making up the difference between their independent deal and the like ACC or the SEC and Big Ten deals. But at the same time, like, yeah, I don't know what else the SEC does unless you have some kind of like crazy. I know you've like brought up like the idea of like USC and Stanford, if they're not happy with the Pac-12, like I think that'd be great if it did happen. I don't know how feasible it is, unless the Pac-12 gets like poached like by more than just the ACC. But like short of that, I think like at this point, West Virginia seems pretty obvious, just as we can take a 15th, especially from the ditch divisions, which I know we both really hope they do. It would be great for Syracuse, especially getting out of the Atlantic, and actually feel like more of a conference, being able to play like Carolinas and the Virginias and the Virginia Techs more than once every 6 years or whatever. Anyway, and adding West Virginia would be a nice pathway to that to get to 15. I don't know that there's an obvious 16th. I think I would just wait on Notre Dame and see if you can kind of figure something out with ESPN to like godfather off of them, because I really don't know what else you can do to get them beyond like what's already been done.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the problem with Notre Dame, and it's always been the case, is like money's not the issue necessarily. Like Notre Dame doesn't need ESPN's money. They don't need the ACC's money. You know, I think the NBC deal is something like, what, 18 mil or so a year. You know, and then they get, I think, something like 10 from the ACC. So realistically, like they're already not that far behind the other ACC schools, and they're fine being behind because they were able to generate revenue from so many other places and so many other things. Like, and then they have obviously a very strong, you know, booster culture and all that. Like there's just this, since Notre Dame doesn't need the ACC necessarily other than as a house for the other sports, and a way that doesn't have them blend into the background the same way they would in the Big Ten. Like ultimately, like there is no motivation for them to join. Now, is there a dollar amount that could potentially change their mind? Sure, I guess. And realistically, I do think that Notre Dame joining is probably worth an extra $30 million a year to ESPN, but that's not on a per school basis, that's overall. I'd find it hard to believe if ESPN was going to offer up much more than that in terms of a raise. So now you're looking at, okay, so each school is taking in somewhere in like the $34 to $35 million range. And that's why, like, I think the streaming route and opening up tier three rights is to an extent is really the only way, for you to entice, you know, teams further in the ACC. I think that, like you said, West Virginia is kind of the only option from a like natural fit standpoint. There's a lot of reasons to add them. I think this round of realignment is not about TV markets, but about valuable inventory and about interesting inventory. So instead of, you know, just adding Houston and calling it a day, you're going to add West Virginia because they had rivalries with half of the ACC. You're going to add that because they're a known brand. You're going to add that because people will recognize that this is ACC football when you see, you know, Vatek in West Virginia or West Virginia BC or Pitt Syracuse or whatever. Like there's a leaning into the ACC's identity with that move. And I think Notre Dame allows that to happen as well. The ACC, I think, you know, Jim Phillips is no John Swofford. He doesn't mean he can't become something like that, but I think he is going to, and I think wisely, try to feel out Notre Dame a bit before making any moves here. And I think that, you know, he can float ideas. I mean, he can ask them, what do you guys think about West Virginia if we invited them? And what do you think about, you know, what if we invited USC? like, would that work for you? And I think that there's, you know, a lot more logistics on the USC end that need to be figured out on that front. And I feel like it'd be, I find it hard to believe the ACC would be the first to move to poach the Pac-12. There's really no one to poach them unless the ACC or the Big Ten take a huge swing here. And obviously the Big Ten has the, you know, pocketbook to do that more than the ACC does. But that would be the move, I think, that could at least make it more enticing for Notre Dame. Beyond that, I don't think West Virginia is really moving the needle for them, and that's really not what's going to make the decision for the Irish.
That's the thing with Notre Dame is that the existing schools that would probably entice them are like in the Big Ten or in the Pac-12 or like Navy. And I don't know that it's worth it to add Navy. I don't think you want to do like a football only thing. I don't think Navy would maybe necessarily want to do it, because like it wouldn't be great for them if they get end up getting buried in the conference. Not that necessarily they wouldn't compete sometimes, but I don't know that they would be at nearly as competitive as they are now in a Power Five. So then like it's tough to like figure out exactly who the obvious 16th school is if Notre Dame is past the say in that. But if we're just pitching divisions, then I think getting to 16, I think the magic number changes. Like there are more options in terms of like how many schools you could add, because right now, like you really can't go 17, I don't think, but you could do 15, 16 or 18, and then you can kind of figure things out. But ultimately, like unless you're doing like a big swing with those West Coast schools that have the tie-ins with Notre Dame, I don't know that there's any others, like unless you know, you think Michigan State's interested or something, which obviously they're not. Yeah, then I don't know what the other move is. Like Notre Dame and AC definitely seem like they're in a holding pattern, especially because like while the expanding playoff like helps Notre Dame in some ways, it hurts in other ways. If they ask on the constitute, can't get a bye, but like ultimately like that might not actually matter that much to them. Like that's like one aspect of the situation, but it's not the whole thing. And they proved they could get to the playoff in the 4-team setup. So it's even less like the 12-team definitely isn't super scary for them. So yeah, it's fascinating. I don't feel bad about where the ACC is. And also like at first I was like, oh, this is going to be awful. The SEC is going to be so much better than everyone. I'm like, well, they already kind of are. And the Big 12 folding, I think, helps ACC if anything. So not that I'm rooting for it, but it's just like I don't know that it really changes the ACC's place in the world, really. Like I think we're kind of where we were. The SEC is really the one that's just kind of vaulting beyond where they already were, but ultimately I don't really think it changes the equation as of now for everyone else too much. Big Ten's probably not happy, but for the ACC and even the Pac-12 at this point, like I don't know that things, I mean, the Pac-12 has their own issues, their network being a major one, and we'll see what Playoff Cough can do as the new commissioner there. But I think the ACC is like kind of in an okay place for now. So I'm definitely happier to be, you know, where we are than like, you know, a lot of other schools. Like if I was a Kansas State fan right now, I'd be very, very nervous.
Yeah, I think that's completely realistic. Like the Big 12, obviously the eight remaining schools have every right to be nervous. They're not only in small, like most of them are in smaller markets. And while I said that doesn't matter, I think it does play into the brand value. And we can get into a little bit more of that in the second half here. But Dan, first, I did want to make some beer recommendations for maybe some fans who are trying to distract themselves from the conference realignment tornado headed our way.
Very nice. Yeah, I had a fairly active week. I was working on some of the Jersey Shore stuff that I have. Had more of that thick Jamba from Heavy Reel, which is delicious. That was the banana, passion fruit, vanilla ice cream sour, which is just like a really outrageous combination of flavors, but works way better than it should. I also had their mango passion fruit dragon fruit, which I didn't work as well. I thought it was just too much sourness and too much citrus. It didn't have like the balance of something sweet in there like the other one did. Still drinkable, but I was a little disappointed. Had some triple swirl pool by Brick City in New Jersey. That's I think a Jersey City brewing brewery. It's in the Hudson area, Little Ferry, New Jersey. Not so sure where that is. Quite good though. Another nice blend of flavors there. That was like a lemony IPA. Had some Abita Amber, just a really solid, looking for a really solid lager there. And then from Westport down in South Carolina, had their lemon cucumber gyoza, which I had not had before. Very, very cucumbery, which I actually like cucumber beers a fair amount. I wish this one was a little more balanced to the lemon, but very, very refreshing. Definitely a good outdoor beer.
Very nice. I'm not a big cucumber fan, but I would definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, it's definitely a hit or miss, but like if you like the kind of if you like cucumber flavor in drinks, like there's some good cucumber beers out there, especially sours. They kind of balance things out nicely.
Nice. On my end, I had from Highland Park and some Limbo Timbo. It was what Highland Park declared Timbo Week last week, where they had different variants of Timbo Pills, which I've mentioned on here before, is arguably one of the best beers in LA. So Limbo Timbo was their unfiltered version of it. They had also had from Modern Times Full Size Pony. I mentioned that one way back at the beginning of the year. That was a collaboration with Fair State, just an West Coast IPA. Had from Modern Times also MT8, their 8th anniversary double hazy IPA. They had from Modern Times Galactic Filaments, was a wheat beer with mango and passion fruit, only 5%, so really refreshing. Highland Park also released a Imperial Pilsner version of Timbo, so it was a Jumbo Timbo that was really good. Had from Common Space, Fresh Pills of LA, and then from Beechwood had Citraholic. Just a standard West Coast IPA. So productive week, and I have a lot more beer in the fridge to get through. So we'll definitely be having more of the ones I mentioned, but also some new ones.
Yeah, my fridge is pretty full, so I need to work through some stuff. We have a bunch of like Hop Zombie in there, and have some. I think we found some Stolpen, which is nice. Surprising, but. Yeah, I need to get through some of those because I've been bringing stuff back from Jersey a bit. So lots to look forward to in the fridge space area and the conference realignment area, I guess. Not really. Look, I don't know. Look forward to might be strong, but like it's happening, so you might as well. I do enjoy the drama of it. I was, you know, it's one of my college football topics of passion. So I guess I can't really complain when it happens, except that like I certainly didn't expect it to be Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were definitely like forged in the fires of like college football internet 2.0. I think we're on like 3 or 4.0 at this point. But college football internet 2.0 was kind of like when the realignment train got going the second time around, when the Big Ten mentioned that they were going to expand. And I think that a lot of folks who have gone on to greener pastures, or folks like us, there are plenty of others who like are still around the SB Nation network, like all people that and names you're starting to recognize and remember. I'm sure there's already been like numerous West Virginia bloggers popping up with the scoops that only they have.
Let us tell you about the dude, young college football internet folk.
Honestly, like I would watch a documentary about the dude.
He's still out there. He's on Twitter, but like he just doesn't. Like I guess like one of the nice things is that like we're. In at least in the college football space, this is definitely not in the real world. Better at identifying people who probably don't actually know much than we were before, because the dude occupied like a very interesting, strange space of the college football internet that didn't make a lot of sense. I know he's still getting around there, but I don't see his stuff like shared around versus back in 2010. Like anything he posted on whatever message board he was on, I think it was on the West Virginia Rivals board, was like. You know, some people treat it like gospel. Like, why do we don't necessarily know this guy knows anything.
he clearly had a precursor to a lot of things.
Yeah, he clearly, yes. College football explains the world. Yeah, like, I mean, I think he probably hit on some stuff and like maybe he had like someone tapped in somewhere, but certainly wasn't 100%. Like, not even close. Now it sounds like he's predicting West Virginia to the ACC, which you know it doesn't exactly take a crystal ball to throw out there as an option. But yes, I do think West Virginia. It would be nice. Like I do think the Big East of it all almost helps the ACC in terms of like the branding, as you were talking about, like the rivalries and the kind of familiarity with the series makes so much difference. Like getting the backyard brawl back in ACC under the ACC banner and. That's like a game that it's, you know, they're not two great teams. And if it's at a time where there's another, there isn't another great game on, like a lot of just neutral college football fans are going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to check out Pitt and West Virginia playing. They hate each other. Like it's there is something to that. And Mushnyov has history with us. They have history with Vatek. They have history with a number of other schools too, not just Pitt. So it is like I think it's a nice fit. And honestly, the Big Eastiness of the ACC, I think, does kind of help it because it's almost like you have like a conference within a conference and a lot of history going back to the late 80s, early 90s. So certainly don't hate it on that regard. And hopefully the people who are still holding out for like the Big East to just come back somehow enjoy them potentially being added. Obviously, we haven't seen anything official. It's just that West Virginia reportedly from actual sources from I think Nicole Auerbach wrote it in The Athletic last week, are very interested and are reaching out to the ACC. So yeah, I'm supportive of that. I hope that happens.
Yeah, same. Honestly, like, I mean, unless it like stops Notre Dame from joining, which I doubt.
I don't think it has really, as you said, I don't think it has any real impact. But I think it's kind of a neutral thing.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just whether or not, like, certain schools in the ACC, like, you know, they already kind of held their nose a little bit, I guess, supposedly on Louisville from an academic standpoint, which I think is aggressive when you consider, like, is everybody in the ACC like a, you know, top 20 college in the country? No, like realistically. And Louisville's actually improved a ton and invested a ton in their campus and everything else. And like, does that ultimately matter that much? No, like we're not the Big Ten. Like the Big Ten makes this big stink about it. And there's really only a handful of like elite academic institutions over there.
It's funny because like they have their whole AAU thing.
AAU that we were a part of until like very recently.
Yeah, and that was like a whole thing last time. And they were like, "Oh, we can't possibly take Nebraska. They're not AAU." It's like, no, you're not taking Nebraska because they're Nebraska. And like, I think I was probably played into the academic portion of it a lot more because ACC did have a thing where like all the schools in it were like top 100 before Louisville came. And like, you know, as I've gotten older and I've gotten farther from being a student, like, which is, you know, we were moving to the ACC. I think it was announced right before the USC game in 2011.
Yeah.
That day it just broke out of nowhere. So I was a senior. Yeah, it's just like some schools are meant for others for different things. Like Louisville is like a bit of a commuter school, but it has gotten a lot better. It's a wonderful school. West Virginia is there to serve the people of West Virginia, and I'm sure there's like plenty of good students there. It's not built to be this super like the super, you know, selective university. It's built to be the state university of West Virginia. So like I don't think it's a big deal. It's not a community college, like, you know, it's not the hardest place to get into, but it's also not supposed to be. That's not what it's designed for. So
it's not like Syracuse is like some Ivy League either. Like,
really. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've spent like 15 years freaking out about our U.S. News and World Report rankings, and we can't seem to crack the code on those. So like, I don't know. I feel like we probably care too much about that kind of stuff. Like, I think everyone knows that, like, if you go to a number of schools at Syracuse, you're getting a diploma that hopefully means a good amount. So like, I don't know. I think harping on like rankings for colleges, which are so flawed and like weirdly assembled and all controlled by like one magazine, it's kind of a weird thing to like obsess over.
Yeah, very, very much agreed. So Dan, kind of looking at like some of the other like wacky ideas, I guess I'd thrown out there. The one that I figured was actually going to like get some people excited and didn't. Was my screw it, we're a basketball conference now approach, where you basically just, you know, invite West Virginia, Kansas, and UConn and kind of call it a day and just become like the, you know, men's and women's basketball counterpoint to SEC football. And I'm curious if there's any intrigue there for you or if ultimately it's just a terrible idea that we should never, ever talk about again.
I mean, you're just like, the problem is if you do that, like Clemson, that's when Clemson or Florida State will leave. Like, reasonable. And they're good. I mean, Florida State's good at basketball now, and Clemson's like competitive. But like, I think we're selling our football program down the river like UConn did. I don't necessarily want to do that. I know we have been very good. I get that. But no, I'd stop short of that. Like, it'd be fun. I'm actually surprised we didn't invite, we haven't had more Kansas rumors. Like, obviously, the Big Ten, they're talking to the Big Ten. I'm kind of surprised the ACC hasn't at least, like, inquired, because I do think you can kind of find the middle lane there where, like, you can still look to improve basketball because it is so important to us while, like, I don't know. I don't think adding Kansas would like super devalue the football product. It just adds like a bad school, but I think it would actually be worth it. And then like, even if you go to 16 by adding West Virginia and Kansas, like if Notre Dame is out there, you just add another school into the 18 and figure out, I mean, but if you go to pods, it just opens up so many opportunities. Or even if you don't go to pods, you can just go to protected rivalries. And just figure out scheduling so it's like relatively balanced. Like it opens up so many opportunities. So yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm a little bummed actually that Kansas hasn't been brought up more for the ACC. Not as a like let's just go full bore at basketball thing, but a let's improve basketball because the Kansas brand is like one of the five biggest ones, and we could have like three of them in the conference pretty easily if we were to do that. And like, I don't necessarily think it would hurt football that much. Like, I don't think it's a big deal to add like a minus football school when they bring such a basketball presence. But alas, it sounds like the Big Ten's a little more surprised by it, because I feel like they'd be more concerned about what Kansas football means than the ACC would be.
Oh, I don't really think that the Big Ten cares about having a body bag or two, considering that they added Rutgers.
That's fair.
Like
Rutgers is probably pumped about Kansas joining.
Like finally, we're free. But no, I think for me, the like obviously Notre Dame's the top wish list ad, and like after that for the ACC, for me it's, you know, West Virginia, it's USC, and then Kansas probably, to be honest. Like I think that's really like the top four, and you'd probably like put Stanford in the package with USC, because I don't think you can get USC without Stanford. You can't get Stanford without USC.
No, and then you want to have travel partners.
Totally,
like someone on that much of an island, it'd almost be like rude to invite them without another West Coast school.
Although I feel like SC, if there's one school that would do it, it would be SC. Yeah, I think that would probably be my like short list. Of schools, I think anybody else, and like those are the ones. West Virginia doesn't provide a ton of like incremental value above what you already have, but does provide some and does enhance what you're doing. Stanford and USC both enhance what you're doing. Notre Dame, obviously. Kansas, I think, does enhance what you're doing, maybe only to the same extent that West Virginia does, just because it's only on the basketball side. Beyond that, though, like, I mean, unless you're adding half the Pac-12 or like pulling off some sort of insane coup where you grab a Northwestern or a Vanderbilt, which again, no, not happening. There's nothing again, but Notre Dame that really moves the needle. Like a lot of people are harping on, you know, Houston, USF, Cincy, whoever. Like I like the Houston idea on paper, but realistically, like it just doesn't. It's not going to stop a casual football fan in their tracks if they're looking for a game, and that's really what matters now. And you know maybe I get proven wrong definitively in 20 years, but I think right now you're looking at what like the SEC just did. Like nobody's playing the 20-year game here. Everyone's playing the like, what can I do right now to improve what's happening for my football conference and how much money I'm making from football in particular. Like I'd love to entertain all these other ideas. I don't see how the ACC in particular makes that move. And I know plenty of others, like Matt Brown's talked about it. Others have talked about it. Like if you actually want to increase what you're making instead of just splitting the pie more ways, like there's really only a few teams that really do that. And that's what makes this so hard. That's what makes this so much harder than last time, where you have fewer players at the table, you have fewer options. ESPN's willing to relegate a lot of stuff to streaming at this point, which will eventually be a good idea, but maybe for now, you know, doesn't necessarily have that much allure. Like, I don't think you can move on any of these pieces, including West Virginia, without Notre Dame making up its mind or just doubling down on whatever it's doing first.
Yeah, and that's just like the true trickiness of the situation. It's also just like so much unknown, because last time everyone, like, you kind of knew the factors, like the market thing was like so clearly the thing. Like you had programs that occupied certain spots that were just seen as valuable because of where they were, even when college football is not really built that way, which is the funniest thing. Like the best schools are like largely pretty rural small college towns. So Yeah, it's just like the strategy is so unclear because you're projecting things out to like what will the entire entertainment landscape look like in the future. And like we have a general idea. I think we all know it's moving towards a more streaming future. But like what does that mean for a college football brand that you add? Like obviously if you can add a Notre Dame, you do it. Like they already seem to know that that's the future. They're doing it themselves. They're smart about this stuff. But on that, like what makes like does a TCU have more equity or more brand equity in that space than like Oklahoma State or a Kansas State or an Iowa? Like what matters is so unclear compared to last time. Even if last time it was like kind of short-sighted, now it's like it's both like it could be short-sighted, but also like you don't really know what the long term means because everything could change so rapidly in the next 10 years. So yeah, it makes it hard to like look past just like the Notre Dame and then what, especially because they're just like sitting there half in, half out. And it feels like you can probably get them in somehow, but it I don't know. It's just it's very frustrating because like before it was easier to kind of mock things up, and like even when the Big 12 had their like dalliance with expansion a couple years ago, and now I wonder like I don't think that would have really made a difference, but you wonder what like expanding the grant of rights a couple years ago by expanding the conference would have meant. Maybe at least holds this off, or you know something happens in that interim time that like makes Texas and Oklahoma reconsider. But like even then, like we were still kind of in the old way of thinking where you're like, oh, Memphis or Cincinnati or Boise State or UCF, like what do they bring? What don't they bring? Now it's just like so different, and there's so few game changing programs out there. Like as you said, like it's you have to really get creative to figure out like what makes the most sense because we're living in a much different world, just based on everything that's happened the last couple weeks and the last like year really.
Yeah. I mean, and two, like this doesn't even get into, and we haven't touched on yet, like for the Big 12 with the grant of rights, like the grant of rights run through 2025. So realistically, like if you're the conference, as much as everyone keeps talking about what those eight schools are doing, and in particular focusing in on Kansas and West Virginia, the two schools with the easiest landing spots somewhere else, like those Big 12 schools all benefit immensely from staying together and attracting other schools into that conference, because that's ultimately what's going to keep that grant of rights in place. That's what's going to lead to Oklahoma and Texas having to give up a lot more money by joining the SEC and ensure that potentially gets balanced out by the move and the increased amount of revenues from the SEC. But at the same time, like there's for the Big 12 schools that are remaining, like it is imperative that they all stay together. And you know, again, for West Virginia and Kansas, that's probably less imperative because Kansas in particular would get a huge payday by moving to the Big Ten, even though they have to wait because of the Big Ten's weird, like, portioned out media share thing they do. But, if you're West Virginia, you basically get to jump right in and make, you know, the same amount of money, if not more. And then you don't really have to worry about anybody else. I think that, like if you're the Big 12 though, like you need to make decisions that are both, you know, in smart in the short term and long term. And I think BYU is the obvious one, and you probably attack on Boise State. Those are two of the biggest brands left out there. I don't think either. I think BYU potentially makes the league more valuable than it is right at this moment with eight teams, but obviously neither of those do anything for the future contract to make it more valuable than what we see now. Because ultimately, you know, if you're telling me that I can watch a conference without Texas and Oklahoma and with, you know, teams in Boise, Provo, you know, where the hell, Iowa State's in Ames, right?
And yeah.
Then, yeah, Iowa State's in Ames, and you have the two Kansas schools. Like there's not a huge wow factor there. And that makes it very hard to go to the negotiating table when 2025 comes around and you're looking to then get paid out at a power conference level again. So I think that they have to be careful, but they also have to like be very quick, because I think the longer they wait at this point, the more likely it is that schools start leaving. And by schools, I really mean just the two I named, because honestly, there's nowhere for OK State to go, unfortunately. There's nowhere for Kansas State to go unless they tag on to Kansas. There's nowhere for Iowa State to go unless they tag on to Kansas. So like Also, it's just funny to me that if the Big Ten started this whole thing, and then they potentially wind up with, you know, Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland, Kansas, and Kansas State. After all that, I'd laugh my ass off.
I actually kind of wonder. I think Oklahoma State, like, there were reports that they were already in discussions with the Big Ten. Like, obviously, they only bring so much, but, like, I kind of wonder if they leave, and then you have West Virginia leave, you have Kansas doped somewhere, like, and then you're down to, what, five?
TCU, Baylor.
TCU, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, and
Texas Tech.
Point missing. Yeah, like, is that even enough to, like, then attract other schools? I think you almost become, like, it turns into, like, a who poaches who for Big 12 in the ACC, AAC. Like, it ends up kind of becoming, like a stare down between those two. Like, the AAC obviously is making significantly less money. They're at, like, they have a $1 billion over 12-year deal with ESPN. They could renegotiate that if they add a bunch of schools. Big 12, hold on to the branch of rights, and then hope that the next media rights package is, like, not so much less, but at least be something. But, like, I wonder if with, like, five schools you could even – you probably poach, like, Boise State. You could probably – I mean, BYU then becomes interesting too because they have their own kind of, like, little media deal. But they,
well, there'd be no benefit at that point for them, to be honest.
I'm wondering – so, like, I'm wondering if they lose three more schools. Like, if they lose West Virginia to the ACC and then they lose Kansas plus one to the Big Ten, like – is it even feasible to then expand? And can you even, if those things are going to happen, like, can you convince anybody to kind of stay in and hunker down? I think that's going to be the most fascinating thing to see next. Because, and I also think it's going to happen quick. Because I think if a school leaves, it's going to want to get on the tailwind of Texas, Oklahoma, and try to, like, hopefully blow up the drain of rights completely so they can get out sooner than 2025. But it's super fascinating. Like, there's a real possibility the AAC ends up kind of approaching the Big 12, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point too, like, that's gonna be the interesting thing. Like you said, I think once a school leaves, they're obviously rooting for the destruction of the conference. Yep. Because that means the grant of rights doesn't apply to them anymore.
Yeah, like, Texas, Oklahoma hope that it falls apart. Like, they are absolutely rooting for them to fall apart. Like, it wouldn't even shock me if, like, Oklahoma people were, like, trying to get Oklahoma State landed elsewhere, like, with political power. Maybe even, right, Texas and Texas Tech the same. I think Oklahoma State will actually is in decent shape just as they've been so, like, so good in football for a while. Texas Tech, I don't know. I don't see, honestly. And then, like, the rest, I think, are just in trouble besides Kansas. West Virginia's just lucky regionally, honestly. The Big East of it all, I think, saves West Virginia. If they were a school in West Virginia that wasn't in the Big East and didn't have the history with half the league, like, I don't think they would be in a good shot, spot at all. But yeah, they are. Kansas has the basketball program, which, you know, saves them. Oklahoma State, I think that the football program is the next big thing out available. We were talking a little bit off of on Slack, like, TCU, if this was 3 or 4 years ago, when TCU was just a couple years removed from almost being in the playoff, like, they'd probably be a much more attractive thing. They've just been so middling the last couple of years. Baylor's obviously toxic in, like, a million ways. And then, like, Iowa State, Kansas State, just, like, it's they're just tough sells, I think, unless they're tagging along with their – I mean, Iowa doesn't want Iowa State in the Big Ten, I doubt. Kansas State, like, unless you're tagging along with Kansas, and Kansas is, like, you know, it's a good basketball program, but it's not like you're it's not like back when we had the Pac-16 rumors and, like, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State were going to get, like, brought along. With the two huge programs. Like, Kansas, I don't know that they're big enough in basketball even to justify a league bringing Kansas State just as a favor. So, yeah, it's tough for those schools. I do feel bad. It's like, it's not anything they've done. Like, some of them had a ton of success. Kansas State had a legendary coach and, like, just was so consistent for years. And, you know, this is what you get.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, I mean, the ideal scenario for a lot of people would probably be send Mizzou up to the Big Ten with Kansas, and then send OK State to the SEC and just call it a day.
It's so funny how much of, like, the last round of expansion changes, like, the outlook here. Because if that had happened, or if Mizzou was already in the Big Ten, which was being talked about a lot before the SEC came calling, you know, then we're probably just in a much different place. Like, if that had happened, if, I mean, you could have had, we really could have had the Pac-16 like that. And the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 then, like, was a pretty powerful conference. And then they would go on to have, like, Oregon and Stanford both as, like, legit powers holding up, you know, holding the line for USC not being that good. Now, like, those two kind of fell back to the pack. Oregon's quite good again, but not great. And, like, look what happens. And again, it was what, 10 years ago that, 11, maybe 11 years ago, that they were apparently very close to adding Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. And, you know, if nothing else, even if everything else played out the same way, they still have Oklahoma right now, and Oklahoma would be a playoff team all the time. And the Pac, no one really talked that much about the – people talk about the Pac-12, if they talked about the ACC, they're like, well, they have Clemson, so they're still – they have something.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that – I mean, we can talk about it next week potentially, because I feel like the story's not going to die. The Pac-12 of it all is an interesting angle that I think we can discuss next time around, along with whatever updates happen here. Dan, anything else before we leave? I know Boeheim's Army currently locked in a tight one here as we reach the fourth.
They've had multiple like 13-point leads while we've been talking, and now it's a 2-point lead, which I don't love. This is the opposite of last week. We started out really hot and it's closed up a lot. It's now as we're speaking, it's 51-49 with 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. So hopefully they pull this one out. Shout out to Katie Zafiris, who got bronze in the Olympic triathlon, SU alum. Awesome news. And you know, hopefully BA pulls this out and we can talk about more them a little more next week. We didn't want to focus on it this week because the game's happening as we're speaking. But a fun little moment here for sports after a couple weeks of us not having that much talk about, you know, conference realignment. At least, if nothing else, we'll get a couple episodes out of it.
Yeah, we were kind of searching for things. We've only got like a couple weeks before we start getting into ACC previews and all that. We'll do that. I know you and I know this, but for listeners, once we get into August, we'll have a week for the Atlantic, the week for the Coastal, and then Syracuse will get its own dedicated week as per usual before we jump into week one programming for the game against Ohio. So just for everybody's knowledge on the horizon.
Real quick before we go, because I've been asked before, if we go to 15, if we add West Virginia and we go to 5-team pods, who do you want in our pod? What's your ideal Syracuse pod?
I mean, I'm a bigger fan of the one I proposed, of the 5 pods of 3.
That could also work.
Scenario, because then in that case, like, you can really like get creative. You can get to like, you can still keep it at 8 games too, if you want. You can also tack on Notre Dame pretty easily. But if you wanted to do 3 pods of 5, I think our pod is probably obvious. It's us, it's Pitt, it's BC, it's West Virginia, and then it's probably Louisville, right?
Yeah, I just wonder. I brought this up with other friends, and one of my friends, like, wouldn't the southern part of the league be really mad that they got kind of stuck with like Clemson and all the other schools down there? But like, I don't know. There's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that like there's ever a way to like super balance this thing when there's like one power program, or even if a Florida State comes back, like one pod's not going to have one of those schools. But like, you could talk about, you conceivably like bring Miami up and have them put in a Big East pod and then just like protect the Florida State rivalry. I think you're going to have to get creative. I think you want to, if you want to have things as like Pac-12 figured out how to protect their California games, even when they were in different divisions. I think you want to do that. Like, you want to protect as many of the rivalries as you can while also giving maximum flexibility for with the pods or however you want to formulate this, because the divisions, I just hope college football, if nothing else comes to this, a major positive will be moving past the divisions as a thing that we do.
Right. Yeah, I buy that. And I think too, I mean, the Pac-12 obviously has the benefits of, you know, 12 teams, 9 games. There's a block of 4 California teams with 2 in each division, and all the other major rivalries are pretty much like natural and squared away, like within their own divisions.
Right.
I think the ACC is always going to struggle with that because you have the block of Carolina teams. So any pod situation has to contend with that. You also have the fact that Duke and North Carolina want to play Virginia. Virginia wants to play Virginia Tech. Syracuse is probably better off facing all the teams up north, but, you know, BC wants to play Miami. Like, it just becomes this big kind of amalgamation of like, and even that's what happens when you basically absorb an entire conference over the course of like 20 years.
I do think there's a way you make everyone happy and like at least almost always have everyone playing in Florida like every year. That'd be great for recruiting for everybody. So yeah, lots of opportunities come of this. Hopefully we ditch the divisions. That'd be a nice thing to happen. You know, I think we'll find out about West Virginia like sooner than later. I think this is going to move quick.
I agree. We'll see if it happens before next week's episode. If not, we still have plenty to talk about here. So Dan, thank you as always for joining. It's much appreciated.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Hopefully Bam's army does not peter out here. They hope that we do have for them to talk about next week.
Yeah, that'd be ideal if they won this game. On that note, that was Dan. I'm John. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Troy Noonan's Absolute Podcast. If you rate, if you subscribe on iTunes, Megaphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and go Orange.
Go Orange.